no entrance. Each one needs to put this knowledge, this fundamental, this basic idea in his head, in his heart, that what he puts in his head is written, it's engraved, and never leaves. Everything, all the what you put in your head is all through the seven openings of your face. Okay. Two eyes, two nose, two ears, two nostrils, and the mouth. Oznaim, ears. Kol ma adam shomea muklat al hamoach. Everything a person hears is registered in his brain. It's recorded in his brain. He needs to keep himself that he shouldn't hear bad things. To watch himself. Not to hear lashon hara and bad words and false knowledge, all kinds of false knowledge. Media, paper, stuff like that. But it makes an impression on the person's knowledge afterwards. What he talks, what he knows. He knows, why don't I have money? Because it didn't work. Why is this happening? Because the government is this. Why is that? And it's all nonsense. He forgets one thing. It's the balabais of the world. That's what happens to us. Right? A person who hears the news, besides the fact that it's burning the time, right, which is nothing worse than that. You hear the news, of course, you're losing your time. But that's not as bad as losing your brain, losing your mind when you hear the news. Right? Not if he just hears what happened. If he hears what happened, it's one thing. But if he starts hearing now what the idiot there, on the other side of on the radio or whatever, what he has to say about it, that's the worst thing. If he hears that there was an attack from Syria today, they shot Israel, he hears, I heard that too, Davin Tashem, that everyone will be protected, and no one will get harmed, and there shouldn't be any war, Chas Shalom, anything. Fine. But now he starts hearing, now what the government and what this is going to say and what this is going to be.
And they repeat it every 30 minutes.
Yeah,
especially if there's a major, something like 9/11 or rioting or...
Listen to the facts.
Yeah, listen to the facts. No, if you hear the facts, talk about it to Hashem and Midu Tshuva and then Davin Pramisla, it's one thing. All the tzaddikim always knew what's going on in the world.
Right? Not because they listened to
you. People know them. But now to hear what this idiot has to say about it, and that idiot has to say about it, that's a mush. Right? And also, besides the fact, a lot of times if you hear the secular news, what are they? They don't mention Hashem. A lot of the religious news also, journalists also don't mention Hashem. The Syrians did this, they did that. Where does it say? With the kindness of Hashem, there was no harms. Some news they do say it. So you have to be very careful because they very easily can forget that Hashem is playing the role. Right? What a person find, that's what you shouldn't. We have to try to exempt ourselves from hearing. But what do we do? What do we have to try to put into our heads? A person has to bring into his brain, through his ears, words of Torah, Briti Shalom, like we're learning now, Rav Dror Shir, Rav Shalom Arush, all the tzaddikim,
all the CDs,
Ken, words of wisdom, things that might help him in life, even if it's not Tiva Torah, things that can help him in life, things that make his soul happy in Kedusha, he wants to hear music. Okay. All the things that are good. And kosher music from kosher people who are playing them. Then he purifies his ears. He hears the words of tzaddikim and he hears music. Good. Eyes. A person needs to guard his eyes. And because every picture a person sees gets engraved in his brain and becomes part of it. And if he enters through his eyes pictures of filth and disgusting stuff of this world, It's all recorded forever and ever in his brain, and that's what he has in his brain, and that's what he is. It's not only talking about women also, but also stuff, violence. And people watch movies, and you see violence. It's destruction for the soul of a person. Destruction for the soul of a person. A person has to be able, he has to be, adin, gentle, these violent things. Everyone knows that people, soldiers after wars, need a lot of mental care. Mental care. Every soldier who was in a war, in a battle, in a war, needs care, because what they see there, disgusting things, right, of people dying and people losing their limbs and all kinds of things, it destructs a person. It's not a movie. They see it live. It destructs the person's neshama.
It destroys it.
It's very, very hard.
There's a very high suicide rate among veterans.
They can't sleep. They can't live. That's why. So Hashem put a person in a situation, that's what he needs to deal with. But to a person himself to go and watch things will destruct his neshama, his nefesh. Hashem Elachim, of course not. Therefore, a person has to be very careful not to see mash, not to see. And of course, you got his eyes, not seeing women. Especially not now it's summertime. Hashem Yatzireinu. I went yesterday to Modi'in to do a fatza. You have to, when it's hot out, you super duper careful. Because if she's, at least she's covered, no? So you put your head down. But if she's not covered, and in the street, Hashem Elachim, they're not covered, it harms the person a lot more. A lot more. So therefore, with Hashem, we're all going to beg Hashem to save us from this summer. Days of the summer, we have a healthy summer, healthy in our soul, healthy in our brain, healthy in our bodies, b'zad Hashem. Okay. What does a person have to put through his eyes? He's to see sights which give a person a good feeling, really good feeling. Okay. For example, he goes to the forest, he puts on his glasses, he goes to the desert, and he looks. Fills up his heart, fills up his eyes. Okay? The sky, the stars, right? Forest, fields, a person doesn't go to do it. Of course, holy letters. Pictures of tzaddikim, to look at pictures of tzaddikim, like Rabbi Ezra has all over his house. His car, all over the car. It's important to see the face of the tzaddikim. And then when a person guards his eyes, then his brain is sanctified, purified, and then he's able to reach Hashem and to cleave to Hashem all the time. That's, we said, the ears. This is practical. What we're learning now, a person now has to take this to the field and dive in on this. Hashem, you taught me today that I have to guard my eyes, I have to do this. Remind me, we're going to have a great story soon. With Hashem, if I remember, before at 2:30 yesterday, a beautiful story. The nose, the person has to guard his nose. What does that mean? To have kid tissues with him? Also, fine. But that's not what Rabbeinu really means. The person needs to guard the nose, meaning to be careful from anger, from a short fuse.
Short temper.
His fuse is going to blow up, burn out. Right? From kfira. Kfira denial. Because when someone's upset, well, kfira was kfira. Denial of Hashem. And you use kfira of Hashem, that's also opposite of Yirah Shemayim, which is the nose.
What do you have to do with the nose?
Because Yirah Shemayim is the nose. We learn from a pasuk, the fear from Hashem, that when someone hears kfira, he disconnects himself from Hashem, from Yirah Shemayim. From the nose. And also, a person hears kfira, okay, he gets impatient. Why? Because, for example, the person he hears how the he starts to, he listens to the news and he hears they're attacking, he gets all nervous and he forgets that there's someone running the world. And that's also a short temper. A person has to be careful from smelling the perfume that are on women, which could arouse him because of his craziness to sin. Right? A person has to have to be, on the other hand, a person has to be patient, long temper, long breath. Take a long breath, calm down, have Yiras Shamayim, that's the opposite of Tefillah. Have complete emunah. Receive your breath from the tzaddik. Learn Rabbeinu's words. Yifticha drishat shalom mi Rabbi Mendel Shapira. Oheb otcha meod. That's also bad smells that if you don't have to be in a place like that, yeah? Smell like chametz on Pesach. Oh, this thing doesn't do the smell. Smelling without making a bracha. All kinds of things like that. Like Abdullah said, this whole perfume nonsense, it's a craziness. A guy puts a perfume on him, he also smells like a woman. So
what?
A guy puts perfume, women perfume on him, so you get attracted to him.
They do that?
It's just, I'm saying that it's all nonsense. Let a woman who didn't shower 3 days, you go next to her, you're going to puke. Right?
Some of these men's sprays are also like perfume. Smells like perfume.
It doesn't arouse you to anything, does it?
Well, so why do they do it though? I mean, you smell the smell, you think it's a woman walking by, it's a man.
It's a confusion of the generation. The mouth, a person needs to guard what comes out of his mouth. Because everything is registered and engraved in the brain. And it affects his actions. If he talks, if a person talks, it affects the way he behaves. Like the Ramak, Rav Moshe Kaldavel, was the Rebbe of the Ari, is very, very next to the Ari. He writes in the book called Tomer Dvorah, very, very famous ancient
Rebbe
book.
Rebbe of the Ari?
Yeah. Rav Moshe Kaldavel. Right? He writes, it says in the Pasuk in Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech says, Al titen et picha lachatid besarecha. Don't give your mouth to make your flesh sin. Which is not talking about speaking mamash prohibition like Lashon Hara or bad words, which of course they're allowed still to do. That itself is a sin. But what type of speech, which is a kosher speech, cause damage to your flesh, right? Things that could cause you to have a bad thought. That's why, even in the shiur, when we talk about tikkun abrit, all those things, you know, or we talk about negative things, not to start describing anything. Because then, even though, I'm talking Torah, but it could bring people to bad thoughts. So not to describe too much, not to bring too much illustrations and stuff like that. Better not to. Because it's words that could cause you to sin. Even though it itself is not a sin. Alachas kama v'kama, the more so, 100 times, a person needs to be careful from actually speaking Lashon Hara, or speaking Leitzanut. You know what Leitzanut is? Mockery. Right? A person who makes jokes of everything. Everyone and everything.
What about proper mockery? Like you're mockering astrologers sorcery. They were talking about sorcery here.
It says mockery of the Zohar is allowed. Of Kfira is allowed. But someone who makes jokes of anything and everything. Some people like that. They can make jokes about everything and anything. In the most serious situation. But sometimes it's a good sense. If someone has this, it's a good sense. He should know that he can use it in the cases where there's a tension. This is fine. He can loosen the situation. But stand to make fun of anything and everything in the middle of a class, or stand their friends sitting together and he tells a joke and everyone's laughing. It's a lot of person to keep away from that. Hashem, one of the people that he can't dwell with is makris. Leitzanim. Kfira, talking kfira. Kfira is anything which is, you take out Hashem from it. The person says, I got a plate, what's going to be there? That's kfira. You forgot that Hashem made him get a plate. Right? You got a way to fix, correct yourself and say, Hashem made it today, I'll get up late. Right? All kinds of things like that. It's very fine. Us here, that we're learning all these, that's how a person has to talk. Not just to say, how are you, Baruch Hashem, and that's the only time you mention Hashem in your sentence, you even think about it, just that you're used to saying it, and then the rest of the conversation is kfira. Mm-hmm. Right? Just to say Baruch Hashem, and the rest of the conversation, you forgot that Hashem exists. All your speech has to be Hashem. All of our speech, you listen to tzaddikim how they speak. And mention Hashem right and left. I remember when there was a time that there was a group that was trying to get Rabbeinu's bones to Eretz Yisrael. So we asked Rav Aharon, what's going to be this? So he laughed and he said, we have to see what Rabbeinu wants to do, how Rabbeinu is planning it. So right away, he brings in the tzaddikim, he brings in Hashem, he brings in... That's how he talks. He doesn't forget Hashem for any moment. We have to try with Hashem to not to talk kfira. It's not just to say, oh, there's no Hashem and it's not Hashem doing it. It's not just saying Echad Hashem. It's not just saying that. It's even saying things and forgetting to add Hashem into the sentence.
So there's a wide gap between, you know, the extreme, like the communists, and what we should be doing.
Yeah, the person, so he has to work in it. That, to remember to put Hashem into the words. And again, everything that we're learning here, it's not learning what's correct to do. The person has to take what he's learning every day and take it to the field and tell Hashem, today I sat in a shir and we learned to buti shalom, how to guard the mouth. And one of the things to guard the mouth is not to speak kfira. Kfira doesn't only mean to deny you. It's just also to say stories that happened without mentioning you. And that way I forget you. Hashem help me that from today on. Forgive me that I always forgot you. And from today on, I'm always remembering to mention you and to remember you in every action. And if I hear from someone something, I'll hear it's Hashem. When I talk something, I'll hear Hashem. To be connected with Hashem all the time. That's what the tzaddikim are. They're always cleave to Hashem. Always. Always with Hashem. It's a beautiful life.
Yes,
it's a tzaddik, right? That's what it says, exactly.
Can we say Korach was an example of a mocker?
Yeah, Korach. Made fun of everything. It was certain halachas didn't understand, so he made fun of them.
You said certain
halachas that Korach did not understand, so he made fun of them. He asked questions and he laughed. And he said, the kid doesn't make sense, you see? Yeah. You're making it up. Right? Not to talk filth, not to talk bad words, not to talk about people. Besides the fact that he causes himself damage, he causes a lot of others also damage. Right? He causes others to sin. Okay? And it's a lot worse than you, a person himself sinning. Therefore, a person needs to be very careful of what comes out of his mouth. Only good things. Only encouragement and compliments and chizuk and Torah and tefillah and to talk emunah and to talk to speak to the others. Chizuk.
My father was not religious, but he would always say, you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all.
It's very interesting, because my grandfather also used to say all the time. If it's not good, don't say it.
From Berkei Avot.
My father-in-law would say that. He passed away in the 90s.
Yeah, so it could be that something that in the last generation they absorbed it from their parents.
You get something.
Today this world is so confused. Yesterday I was in the junction a little bit before then I went to houses. So this lady, she opens the window. Did you do the army? Every person in Israel is over 50 will ask you that question if he's not religious. Did you do the army? Especially if you're Ashkenazi. So I told her, what does it make a difference? As long as you want to be happy, you want to go close to Hashem. To me it makes a difference. Did you go to the army?
You could have answered. I'm in the army of Hashem.
I told her, I happened to be in the army, and if someone did not, was not in the army, so what? I told her in a nice way, so she accepts. If someone did not have the chus to be in the army, so what? So he's not a good person. He cannot serve Hashem anymore. He cannot be happy. But of course he could be. You're right. You're always happy. Not by the bad. People, a lot of times we're always constantly just bad and negative and judging and da da da. And it's not the right way.
they have these images, and they follow their own images.
Right, and they fight it, and then when you now you move the curtains a little bit, you'll see a soul. You'll see a person behind. Also, we have it. Oh, she's not sneut. Oh, she must be a bad person. Mapita, who's there? They're all pure, holy neshamas that we love so much. Very far, and they don't know anything.
They're not judging people at all.
At all, at all. We're in their place. We know anything. Anyways, when a person merits, I want to finish here, and I want to tell you a story. When a person merits to sanctify and purify the seven openings of his face, which are correspond to the seven branches of the menorah in Beis HaMikdash, then he merits that the seven candles in his brain will shine out his face, his brain, right? And then the flame will be flaming, will be burning alone even. Meaning that he'll be mamash, get to a level even of Ruach HaKodesh. Suddenly he has such talks, suddenly he goes to the field and Amash Hashem is literally talking through him. Why is that? Because he's sanctified himself, he made himself a vessel. Hashem is always talking through us, but we're not a vessel to accept him, what he's saying. So when we purify ourselves, we could see that Hashem is talking through us. And then you come and you give shiur like Rav Dror. There's nothing special about Rav Dror. Nothing special, just the fact that he's working on himself. And anyone else who works on himself will also talk like him. Well, also Hashem will talk through him. It's not that he's the holy person in the world, and that's Rav Shalom or any other tzaddikim. We're all could be as big as tzaddikim. Just have to work. Purify ourselves and let Hashem talk. Stop. Let's stop bothering Hashem to work.
Since we start working now, Hashem helps us also.
Right.
He sees you're working, so he helps us.
100%. He sees us wanting to work, he really helps us. Not even if you're not working, we want. Every day we come and we want. That's the Gemara said. In the way that a person wants to go, they lead him from Shemayim.
Yeah.
Just in the way that he wants to go, not if he goes. He can be in a discotheque in Tel Aviv and he's just. Not the right. I don't want to be here. I want to be. I know it's not the right thing. I know the kedusha is the right thing. And slowly, a person will do tshuva. Now I have an amazing story. Amazing story. So, my friend Yosef Chaim. The French guy. Yes, he's one. A few years ago, me and him, we used to go a lot doing a fatza and bala dumim for months, building up to building everything. And then we started doing Modi'in. I was doing more junction, he was doing houses, I was also doing houses. We used to do big buildings, 20 stories high, 100 apartments in a building, all kinds of stuff. And he started working with yeshiva, putting out the yeshiva's tzedakah box in the homes, whoever wants. And he talks to the people, there's three advice that Rabbeinu said to do every day. And he talks to people, even not religious at all, to do the three advice. And one of them is to learn even something small from Rabbeinu every day, in one line, right? To learn even one thing every day, something new to add, always to ask to your brain, right? Number two is to give tzedakah to the tzaddik, to the cause of Rabbeinu every day. That's why we have the tzedakah box. We give to any cause of Rabbeinu, give it to students of Rabbeinu, give it to causes. To a Kramer for his institution or anything that to publish as Rabbeinu in the world. And the third thing is to do an Arik Bodhidu, and he explains to people how to do Arik Bodhidu, what to do. He talks. And he gives him a box, he knocks on every door, every single, he has a map. He's a Yucky in this thing. He has a map, door by door, street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, the whole city is covering. And he's not alone, he has a few guys with him, a couple of guys with him. And I went with him yesterday, and he gives them the box, whoever wants, and then 3 months later he goes back to the same neighborhood and he goes only to the people who got the box, and he starts talking to them again and again, and then 3 months later again. In the meantime, he continues giving out more and more boxes in every door, wherever it wants. And so there was one door that someone went to them, one of his crew it's called?
Mm-hmm.
One of his crew.
Crew, yeah.
Went and gave them a box, and the guy, not religious, in their 40s, family, nice family. He's Ashkenazi, the husband. And he tells him, you have books in French. My wife is French. She's getting chizuk a little bit. She wants books in French. So he said, I'll send it to you. Don't worry. So he sent a few days later, Yosef Chaim, which speaks French, to their house. And he spoke to them. And he gave He comes to them and says, "You want here, take Chokhmat Nashim for women, very good, in French." And then the husband said, "Only for my wife, only my wife." So he says, "For your wife, you have to take Gana Shalom. What do you mean?" He says, "Garden of Peace. You only for my wife, and you're gonna, not going to do anything? You let her do the work?" "Okay, fine, you give me in Hebrew, we took Gana Shalom." And he explained to him again, "You're going to do it, and this and that, fine." And then he left. 3 months later was yesterday. About 3 months later. And I went with Esther Klein to the house. We're going to keep up what's going on, take the full box, we give him an empty box. If the box is full, we take it, we give him an empty one. It's all registered, the numbers, it goes to the yeshiva. It's sealed, no one can open it, only the yeshiva that has a sticker. So he knocks on the door, the guy opened. Shalom. So first thing he said, "No, you read Gana Shalom?" "I read the whole thing from beginning to end. My wife read Chokhmat Nashim, and we discussed it. And they're married for like 15 years, I think. And we decided what was till today, we're throwing in the garbage, we're starting a new life, a fresh life." Unbelievable. But first of all, that was shocking enough. It's shocking. You tell a person once, read a book. Fine, no, you tell 100 people to read a book. Who reads a book?
What is
religious people? They're not religious. They're still not religious. But they send the kids to religious schools, but chinuch, I don't know. They're a little bit religious, maybe very little. Very, very little. Maybe Tarat HaMishpacha they keep. Yeah, that they keep. I know they keep that. I told him something about mikvah, and he said, maybe that's Baruch Hashem, they keep something. It's amazing. But not feeling, no Shabbos, not up. I don't know if they keep kosher. There's one sink I still have. Maybe I also have one sink, I don't know, whatever.
We have one sink.
Yeah, that's how it is, but some people don't know. And they one sink, and it's metal, and it's all, So we go in, he tells us, he's all excited. 2 days ago, I started putting on tefillin. So he says, "What?" He's not religious. He shows us, he has his tefillin right by the door. He says, "Before I go to work, I remember I put it right here. I remember I put on tefillin every day, two days in a row." I said, "What happened?" He said, "My son, on Shabbos, this Shabbos, came to me and tells me, 'Abba, why don't you put on tefillin?'" Because he goes to religious school. So he was embarrassed. First, he wants to slap him. He said, "What is it? My kid's telling me I'm not putting on tefillin. It's not nice." But then he said, "But he's right, this kid. He's 10 years old, okay." So he decided to put on tefillin. So he puts it by the door so the kids see it. He has a big Magen David on it. And he puts on tefillin every day. Twice a day. And today, hopefully, the Hashem, I think he did also. Next surprise was, we're talking about for what? We're like standing there. And I was dropping, like, "What's going on here? There's something going on here. The world is changing." Next thing was, he tells us, "I invited you to come to my house."
"You will?"
He invited us to come to the house. "What do you mean invited us?" He said, "A few days ago there was something on secular TV, a certain program, I don't know, I think today TV like has hundreds of channels, right?"
"Four, probably, I don't know."
"I don't know.
At least.
Baruch Hashem, when I stopped seeing, watching TV, which is a lot of years, many, many years ago, there was cables, maybe 30 channels, 40, 50 channels, 90 channels, not more than Baruch Hashem. Less damage. But today I guess you can watch anything and everything and any time. They have also the iPhone and internet and everything." So anyways, he tells us that it was a program on TV that they follow couples to see how they change over the years, how they were when they're 20, how they were when they're 30. I guess someone was working on it for a while. So there was this couple, they weren't religious, and then the husband became Baal Tshuva. And the woman, not. It's a real video. And they show how their dynamics is, and how he's trying to pull it his way, and she just doesn't want to go after that. They love each other, they're happy and everything, but I'm keep my ways, and you keep your ways. Then they see one day that he's going to, they live in the north, he's taking her to do Yibbaladut. This is on secular TV. Secular TV, they're showing how the guy's going to do Yibbaladut, and he's taking his secular wife, his Chiloni wife, with him. And he's talking on the way, "Hey, what? Do 1 hour with Baruch Hashem. Nachman says, talk with Hashem." And secular TV, I couldn't believe my ears. I couldn't believe that on secular TV, that's what they're showing. "Can talk with Hashem. Here, we're going to go to the field. You're going to feel amazing." And she goes. She doesn't want. She goes back to the car, and he goes to the field, and they show on TV a guy doing his voices. The guy doing his toilet.
There's a channel called Kitab.
No, it's a secular.
Sure, what's that?
100% not.
He says two actually.
Right. No, it's a secular TV. Yeah. Secular TV, so. They also show not religious people there, and not sneers people. It's not a religious thing. In Yavud, they don't show not sneers. Yeah. And Yavud is mainly stories.
Yeah.
That story, the lectures.
Shireen.
Yeah. So he says, so the next day he works. He said he works in building roads. He's in charge. Structuring roads, building roads near Gadera somewhere. So he went there the next day for work. And I don't know, I think it was yesterday, I guess he went to work in the morning. I think it was yesterday. And then it was a lunch break, and he saw the Arabs just sitting on the floor eating like animals. And he didn't want to sit with them. Bring myself so low to sit with a guy to eat. He bought himself something nice. He said, where are we going to eat? In the middle of nowhere. There was a pades, an orchard, peaches. He went, I'll go in the orchard, it's calm. It gave him a flashback from the yesterday's Bududut that he saw on TV. And he went inside, he finished his meal, and he lays down, and he starts talking with Hashem. He's doing half an hour, he's like, Chatisha, I'm laughing, I'm crying, I'm this. I told him, if they would have seen you, they would have locked you up. He said, yeah, forced lockup, not just He said, yeah, it was amazing. And then I came out, amazing, it was a different world. Kitzel. And then he shows us that in the tefillin, in the tefillin bag, besides the talisman tefillin that he has, he's hiding inside tzitzis. He said, shh, don't say, I'm not wearing it yet. I want. So we told him that before he puts on tefillin tomorrow, or today even, ask Hashem that he wants to put on tefillin tomorrow. So everything comes through tefillin. And we talked to him, he bought two books. And he told us, if you would have talked to me a few years ago, I wouldn't even look at you. I wouldn't even look at you. But I don't know. That's what Abdul always says. That it's not from a person even. It's maybe it's an old grandmother who died 100 years ago. And his family name is, I'm not going to say it, it's recorded, is the name of Tzadikim. And for sure there was rabbis in his family, for sure, I know the name. And I'm sure they're davening for this family, that the Tshuva. And it's unbelievable to see a process in form, a process in action. Beautiful, amazing, you give us life. You give me life to go another 100 years to go into Afatzah. Beautiful, beautiful. And you see, and it's all the schut of someone knocking on the door. He gets all the merits. It's not this person, anyone did with someone will revise him to tshuva. Because he had the schut not to do tshuva. But the person who gave it to him, he had the schut that through him, that the way he gave it to him. Like the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, that a positive action, they bring it to a positive person, and a negative action, they bring it to a person who doesn't deserve. That's why if Davin to Hashem, Abenu said, I'm going to do everything. You see, by the way, it's through Abenu, the Buddhist and TV. Abenu said, every good thought of a person, a thought of tshuva of a person, I'm responsible for. That's what Abenu said. You see literally how it works. So to be strong, be strong. And even if a person cannot go, right? I tell you personally, I go every day. I don't have the money to buy CDs, to buy stuff. I give people, even if they don't give enough money. If someone wants to donate, it's not to help for me, it's to help for Hashem. It's to help for the people over there, because I can't. I'm finishing now my CDs and my stuff, and that's all I have. Now to buy more, I have to get the people more money, because I don't have more, because I give and I give and I give as much as I can. I talk to people, and I don't make a lot of money off of it. If I give also, if I have to buy also, I come up with zero money. So, without Hashem, if someone will have the schut himself to send people to go and to do, the schut and the geula of Am Yisrael, and also, if you know that the Zohar says that a person has to be willing to go from one world, from one side of the world to the other, to the whole world, just for one thought of tshuva of another Jew. So to go and stand in a junction in the heat for 3-4 hours, to speak with people indoors, to do that, it's a big, big schut. And if you yourself can't do it, so you have the schut to help others to do it. The big, big thought is that Hashem.
Next week, if I do and if you list, prayer list, and you want
to write my name?
Write the name and the
Yeah, you told me.
One night, I only flew.
באנגלית יכתב או בעברית?
מה, אנגלית, when you want
it,
you can write it.
I'm writing my name, what do you think?
When you write good in Hebrew, I can't
read it. Bottom line is, Rabbeinu is conquering the world.
Amash. As well, there, T-I, there is there, T-R-D-H.
T-H-E-Y.
There.
T-H-E-R-E.
Children.
C-H-I-L. G.
C-H-I-L.
G-R-E-N.
G-R-E-N.
What can you...
Yako. Yako. I know you've been doing something with the computer.
No, here, I don't know.